Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, these are God's words. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them round your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So far, the reading of God's words. Okay, so how does Solomon, how does the author by the Holy Spirit address or speak to, what does he call Ezekiel, the person to whom he is writing this?
Your Bible is missing, so I'll let you look at me.
What does he call him? My son. Now, it is kind of like our, are you a lollipop? Are you an ice cream cone? Are you a popsicle? Then what are you? Yes. We've been playing that since you were one. We've been playing it for 5 years or so. One of the reasons we do that is because when you say your son, you know that that means something very precious. Indeed, my son. And so you can hear the affection of the Bible writer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We know in the way these things are written, especially here in the opening verses of Proverbs, do you think the way he's been talking about God's law and God's commandments, that he would have his own separate commandments? When he says, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments, isn't it so that he is saying that because he has adopted God's law as God's commands, his commands? And these are God's law and commands to us. And so we hear not only my law and my commands, but what other phrase in verse 1 is parallel with those two? Yes, Beatrice. Which other phrase in Hebrew ends with a hirach yod? Not just Torah-i and mitzvot-i, but bani. What is that, Cassidy? Ban, ben-ni. Well, ben is the singular form. Bani would be construct with the hirach yod possessive. My son. My son. Emmet ben James. Emmet son of James. Emmet Benny. Bani. My son. So in the parallel, you have my law, my commands, and my son. The law and the commands were personal to him because it was his daddy's law and his daddy's commands. So not only were they good and righteous and would do all these things for him that he says in verse 2 and verse 4, but the person who gave them to him wants to give him length of days, wants to give him long life, wants to give him peace, wants to give him favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So it's not just, here's some things that are really great. You know, you should check them out because of their greatness. It's, here is all the good that I want to do you. And here is my law which I give you, through which I intend to do you that good. God's law is personal. It's his. It's from him in his love to do us good. This is one of the reasons why the Pharisees, who thought they loved God's law so much because of how good they thought they were at it, were so offensive to God. Because not only did they view God's law as a burden, oh, these miserable things that you've given us to do, and when we do them, God, we think you owe us. But they actually made them more miserable for others. Jesus said, you tie burdens to men's backs that no one can bear, and then you don't even lift a finger to help them with it. You know, look at the way it talks about his law and his commands here in Proverbs 3, verse 1. Should we see it as a miserable burden that is given by a hard, cold God who says you can earn these things by doing these things? No. It's given by a God who addresses us by saying, my son, whom I love, to whom I delight to do good, here is my law and my command for my son to do him the good that I have intended. Our hearts, I'm afraid, are all very Pharisee-type hearts. To start out with, we have a new heart in Christ, but that remaining sin from the old man, that fleshliness, clings to us, and we think of God's law as a burden, and we get proud of ourselves for when we think we're doing good at it. We don't see it as a gift from a Father who wants to do us lots of good and has appointed this law as a way that he does us that good. God grant to us to see the law personally in its connection with God and the relationship he has brought us into in adopting us and loving us, doing us good. So, my son, do not forget my law. Let your heart keep my commands. What part of him does he say to use to keep the commands, Victoria? What part, John? What part, B? His heart. We often think of God's commands as things that are kept primarily, like, with the hands and with the feet. Right? So go where mom and dad say to go, and do what mom and dad say to do, and on the Lord's Day, do Lord's Day things, and don't do non-Lord's Day things. But the first place you keep a command is the heart. Right? It's not just obey your mother and father, although it does say in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents and the Lord. In Colossians 3, to obey your parents as well. But what does the fifth commandment say? Honor your father and mother. Honor is something that is done first with the heart, isn't it? If you think very little of your father and mother and don't care for them at all, and yet put on a smiley face, speak the right words in the right tone at the right time, do the right things, but your heart isn't in it, are you honoring your father? It's very possible that that would happen. A young man might do that outward stuff for years, and then come at last 10 years later and say, I can't stand doing what you say or being with you. In fact, I couldn't stand it the whole time. I honored you well. Did that boy honor him? No, it starts in the heart, doesn't it? If we're going to honor God, it must start in the heart. How about the Lord's Day? How do we keep that command primarily? What's the first place we must keep that command? With the heart. Delighting that it's his day. Delighting to spend time with him. Frustrated with ourselves and our remaining sin. When we feel like we wish we could do other things. Reminding ourselves of the sweetness of Christ. The reconciliation that he has brought us into with our Heavenly Father, that he addresses us, my son, reminding ourselves what a wonderful thing it is to have a day. Remonstrating with ourselves. You know what that means? Having kind of a rebukey argument with ourselves. How could you self want to have done that? Don't you remember how sweet your Lord is and how wonderful? So let your heart keep my commands. I shouldn't have read the first four verses. I think that's plenty. But let's explain verses 2 through 4 in a shorter frame. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now that's true in an earthly sense. You reap what you sow, generally speaking. It's not 100% guaranteed. There are those who have been martyred for remembering God's law and keeping his commands. Okay? We don't know if the pastor of the earlier in church is still alive. Nobody's heard from him in months, not even his lawyer. Okay? And the big thing that he's in for is urging his congregation to obey the command not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We got people who miss church at Hopewell for lots of reasons. Okay? But if that guy has been martyred, And I wish I could remember his name just now. It's Wang Yi? I think that's it. He'll forgive me in glory when if I got it wrong. He won't even know we're not on mission. If he's not alive anymore, did obeying the law and keeping his God's commands give him length of days and long life? Have they given him peace? Well, not with the government. But although these things are generally true, with notable exceptions like that pastor, earthly speaking, it does. Those who obey God's law do, generally speaking, have longer lives and much more peaceful lives. They're great neighbors, and they generally don't get in trouble unless they're in a time of persecution, which does come. But these are true in a perfect and eternal sense, aren't they? Because the keeping from the heart, who can do that? That's not true. Who can do it? Jesus. Is that what you're going to say, Victoria? And you know who else? The one who belongs to Jesus by faith. You're not keeping it perfectly from the heart. But though the unbeliever, without faith, it is impossible to please God, he can't at all. But the believer can, can't he? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but he who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And we do walk in newness of life. And though not perfectly, yet genuinely good. We do genuinely good things. And so the one who is from the heart, keeping the commands of God, is going to have eternal days, eternal life, and perfect eternal peace with God in Jesus Christ. So there is an absolute, complete sense in which verse 2 is a promise. Let not chesed and emet forsake you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. What do people wear around their necks? And don't say dog collars, because the militaries at that time didn't do that. They're dog tags. Sorry, not dog collars. That's old. Okay. Yes, necklaces. It says, don't try and be fancy and fashionable and beautiful, attractive by metals and rocks. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what like gold, silver, and jewels are, right? Metals and rocks. Like you guys running out into the shed of creepiness and, coming back with some collection of rusted things and some stones, and putting them on. Look, I am fancy and pretty. That's just metal and rocks. No, what you should bind around your neck is godliness, obedience to God's commands. Write them on the tablet of your heart. The heart was the control center of their lives. Let what God says, because of who he is, that he is your father and you are his son, let what God says control your life. And so find favor and high esteem in whose sight? The sight of God and man. Seem to remember somebody who did that well once. Someone who grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God. Who is that, Victoria?
Jesus.
Yes, and Jesus grew. You guys remember the Steve Green song? Some of you aren't old enough. That DVD has gone the way of the dinosaur. Two songs?
No, two discs.
Oh, yes. Jesus grew in wisdom, God and men. So we see this, and we say, thank you, Lord, for the fact that Jesus does this in two different ways. One, because what Jesus has done is what is counted for us. And so we have favor with God, don't we, in Jesus Christ? Perfect favor with God, because he has obeyed perfectly. But we also have a promise of what we will be like when God is done with us, don't we? Because when he's done with us, what will we look like? What will our character look like? Exactly like, yes, you know?
Christ.
Exactly like Christ. And so we look forward to not only the Lord saying of us through faith in Christ, look at my beloved son, my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased, but eventually having fit us for glory and formed us according to Jesus, he will actually be saying, Look at what my beloved son and beloved daughter are doing. But with that, I am well pleased. He does that already with the good that we do for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, adopting us as your own dear children, giving us your law and your commandments as gifts through which you do give us length of days and long life and peace and favor with yourself, favor with men. We're so grateful to be reminded that these are just some of the things that your love from before time has earnestly desired to give us and has given us in Christ and is giving us in making us like Christ. And so keep doing that work, we pray, even using this time that we have spent in your word. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and your children say,
Amen.